And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if there's something strange going on in your neighborhood, who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters!
Wow, you guys are sharp this morning. Ghostbusters. If there's something weird going on in your neighborhood and it how does that go? And it don't look good, who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters!
All right. Well, I tell you what, if you're like me, there's a lot of strange things going on in our neighborhood and just a lot of weird stuff that is happening. But you know what? In Psalm 116, we hear that maybe life wasn't much different back in that day. Oh, yeah, technology different circumstances. But the psalmist was in a very difficult time. And yet, we find in this incredible psalm, in his distress, he isn't asking the question, who you gonna call? But what do we hear? Just these beautiful words. What encouragement. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my plea for mercy, because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. And then in verse 4, then I called on the name of the Lord. The psalmist immediately in his time of distress and anguish and affliction knew who he could call. And he called upon the Lord. And you know, it was a very serious time for this individual. We don't know who wrote Psalm 116. We don't even know the details of what he was going through at the time. But what we can grasp from this psalm is he was in dire straits. Whether it was a physical illness, we don't know, or whether it was an enemy that was after him. But there's some really powerful words that the psalmist shares with us. The snares of death encompassed me. Think about that. Snare is a trap. And in the Hebrew, being encompassed is like being tied up. And so the view that the vision that the psalmist paints for us, the picture of death, is that it's seizing him, it's running after him, it wants to capture him, and it wants to tie him up and bind him. I'd say that's pretty serious. And then in the psalm, we hear the fallout of this, what it brings to his life, three key words, and it's distress, and it's affliction, and it's anguish. And so mentally and physically and spiritually, the psalmist is just in a horrendous battle in his life. It's like the world is caving in on him. And at the forefront, that enemy, death, wants to strangle him. The snares of death encompassed me. And then he goes on to say, the pangs of Sheol lay hold of me. You know, Sheol has always been one of those mystery words in the Old Testament, and I don't think any scholar yet knows exactly what that word stands for. It certainly, in the context, not here, but in other places, can refer to hell, God's place of judgment for sin. But other times, it's simply speaking of that place of the dead, of the tomb, of the casket, if you will, in our modern times. Have you ever been at a graveside service and the casket is sitting there above the hole that has been dug? And you know, usually the families will leave before that casket is lowered into the hole, into the grave. But I've been at graveside services where everybody else left other than the family, and they wanted to see their loved one's body be placed in the ground. And I tell you, that's a very powerful, emotional moment. Sheol laid hold on me. Talk about a helpless feeling. And you know, the psalmist prays to God to deliver his soul. So it's much deeper than just the fear and concern about physical death. but it's the reality, God, I'm a sinner. And in my sinful condition, I am absolutely helpless. And that's the most terrifying of all. The snares of death encompass me. You know, I think about, remember the criminals on the cross, one on either side of Jesus? And they were crucified there together with Jesus. And oh, at the beginning of this whole process, it went on for several hours. They're railing upon Jesus like the crowd standing below. Oh, if you're the Son of God, save yourself. And the two criminals yelling at Jesus right beside them. And by the way, save us too. The cords of death were wrapped around them. And they were overwhelmed, they were terrified, and they knew there was no way out. Talk about an absolute helpless feeling. But then a really beautiful thing happens at seemingly the worst moment in a person's life. One of the criminals observes what Jesus is doing. He hears what Jesus is speaking, and he comes to realize and to believe and to know and to trust that this Jesus indeed is the Son of God, as he had promised. And remember what the criminal said? He confronted the other criminal, and get this, they're dying on crosses. Their life is going to end in just a few moments. But he confronts the other criminal, and he says, we are getting what we deserve. We are getting what we deserve. Think about that. Those words are so profound, because in reality, we all deserve to die, and in reality, we all deserve to be in hell for eternity. That place of God's wrath and punishment for sin, and to be separated from God forever. Talk about a helpless situation. Has anybody heard about COVID-19? There are a few in the crowd that have heard about that. You know, you can't even watch a commercial on TV anymore without it being COVID-19. Why is that so powerful? It's a virus. And yes, there's people that are dying. And we have people on our worship team have lost loved ones to this virus. But why is the world caving in to a virus? It's because of death. And not knowing how to deal with death. Who are you going to call? And most would say, well, I'm going to call man. I'm going to go to the scientists. I'm going to go to the politicians. They've got all the answers. And we just see the world becoming, like in Ghostbusters, weirder and weirder. Did you hear what the psalmist had the gall to say? Oh, should I say God, because he inspired these words. All men are liars. Did you hear that? That comes right out of Psalm 116. All men are liars. Not meaning just males, but females too. All of mankind are liars. Why? Because we are sinful human beings. We are not trustworthy. We fail one another, and we fail God every day. And we hear about this COVID-19, and oh my gosh, here's the detail, hour by hour. Another one died in Colorado. Oh, another one died in California. Oh, how many died in New York? But not once do I hear people saying, maybe we ought to turn to God instead of man to deal with this problem. I don't know about you, but I about lost it yesterday. I've just about had enough. And, you know, the psalmist, I feel like maybe in a sense can feel like him. When I was brought low, I never imagined in a 4-week period of time that I would be made to feel guilty for getting in my car and simply going for a drive. Electronic signs everywhere. Stay home, save lives! Stay home. Save lives. The fear of death. My wife, Lindy, and I, we went to a mountain resort type town. Don't tell anybody. A resort town that depends on people to be there to support the community, the earth and the mountains. You know what we're introduced with coming into the community? I always mess this one up, but it was kind of clever. Go home. Go home. Stop the spread. And I'm thinking, we're in our car. We just want to see the mountains. We're not getting out of our car to mix with other people. What on God's earth can we be doing to endanger lives or causing this virus to spread? Lindy and I were in Jordan last October, third world country. And I have to tell you, being in this mountain town in the state of Colorado, in the United States of America, I felt better in Jordan. At least I could find a bathroom. The little park in the community, Lindy and I had to go to the bathroom. Plastered on the doors, closed. So we went to a mini mart. There was no place to park. Everybody's going there because there's hardly any businesses, none virtually open. No public bathrooms. Ended up going in a grocery store, finding a bathroom there. Me, the aviation guy, used to go to DIA, stand by the runways. Oh, it's so cool. I have such cool video. Out in the middle of a wheat field, which I grew up on a wheat farm, and farm equipment right against the fence, old farm equipment in the weeds, and then this pristine, beautiful airplane, multi-million dollar machine, screaming by, rotating, going into the air, and still to this day, I marvel that these machines can do that. I stood at that runway recently. By the way, I don't think I murdered or killed anybody. I stayed in my car. And you know what I saw? I counted them. 60 jets, commercial jets, parked on a runway at Denver International Airport that used to have jets screaming by about one every 2 minutes at least, parked wingtip to wingtip. And I don't know when and if they'll ever fly again. And why all of this? The snares of death encompass me. I think the world honestly believes today that we're not allowed to die anymore. And so it'd be better just to stay huddled in our homes, can't even hug our kids or grandkids. It would be better to stay in our little hole and live the rest of our lives. Why? Because heaven forbid we might die. Well, guess what? I love this commentator that wrote a piece on this psalm. We shall not fail to find troubles and sorrows connected with death. They are in our path, wherever we turn. And I love the last part, and I don't believe many in the world believe it anymore. We cannot avoid them. We are going to die. Are we going to let that destroy our lives? Are we going to live in absolute distress and anxiety and anguish for the rest of our lives? Because we're going to die anyway. That's not a carefree life. That's not the life God designed for you and me and that He desires all people to have. Even in the chaos, we, like the psalmist, as difficult as it was for him at the time, as threatening as things were in his life, he did not lose sight of the Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in his life. Who are you going to call? And he called upon the Lord. And one of the most incredible parts of the psalmist's prayer, did you hear it? And it's right here. It's verse 10. I believed. Listen to this. The psalmist praying to God. I believed even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. Did you hear that? I believed even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. As bad as things were for this individual, the one thing that he did not lose sight of, the one thing that he remained anchored in, was the Almighty God. Wow. Carefree living can really be a reality even in the worst of times. Think about that criminal on the cross. You're dying the most inhumane, brutal way you can die. But when he said, Jesus, remember me in your kingdom, that was the most glorious day of his life. That was the most glorious moment of his life on earth. He realized, I am in the physical presence of the Son of God, and I'm observing him dying for me and for the sins of all people. And when I said that to Jesus, says the criminal, Jesus said, today, yeah, we're both going to die on these crosses together. But today, you're going to be with me in paradise. Wouldn't you love to hear that 24/7 local, state, national, international news? If that was all over the airwaves throughout the world nonstop, we would have such a different world that we're living in than we are right now. We can't control that. But boy, can we be in charge of our own life. Well, in reality, not even that, because if God hadn't intervened in our life with his grace, we would be with the rest of the unbelieving world. The psalmist knew his helplessness. He knew all mankind are liars. You can't trust in man to resolve these things, especially death. But he knew that God would never change. And there's the good news for us today. That in all circumstances, no matter how weird and wacky and strange the world is right now, just in a four-week period of time, God is the same as he was with this psalmist thousands of years ago, and he's right here with you and me now. His character never changes. I want you to, for some of you who may have the outline at home, we send it out. 1 John chapter 1, this is the epistle of John. In 1 John chapter 4, there I messed up again, it should be 4 in your notes, it's 1. So 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. These incredible words from God. In this is love, not that we have loved God. This is really crucial to hear. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Oh, I love that word, propitiation. It means atonement. It means that God has covered our filthy, ugly sin with his Son's perfect righteousness. Through the waters of baptism, through hearing God's word, as we're doing this morning, God changes hearts. He brings people from unbelief to faith. He gives life where there was only death and despair. We don't deserve it. Think about the criminal on the cross. We deserve what we're getting. But Jesus said to the criminal, I want you to have so much more. Didn't say those words, but the Spirit gave that criminal that assurance. And then Jesus said it, today you'll be with me in paradise. The psalmist, in the strange and wacky times and very frightening times that he was going through spiritually, physically, and mentally, never lost sight of God who loves him. Did you hear it? Beautiful, rich words. God is gracious, righteous, and merciful. Just as thousands of years ago, God to this psalmist, to the world then, is gracious, righteous, and merciful, he's the same today. Most say, God, I don't want anything to do with you. Preacher, shut up. I don't want to hear this stuff. It's nonsense. It's a fairy tale. And the world can say that. If you're the Son of God, come down from that cross. But how about the disciples on the road to Emmaus? Another one's kind of distressed and in anguish and affliction and downtrodden. We thought Jesus was going to rise. What in the world happened? And then Jesus is in their presence. Would you say that they had a carefree life at that moment when Jesus revealed himself to them? Absolutely. Most of the world made fun of the whole event and still do. But the reality is, God is God. God doesn't call up the world and say, hey, guys, I want to get input from you of how I should operate these days. No, God is in control. His truth is universal. His law is universal. Whether most people reject it, it doesn't matter. His word stands forever. But in that word, we hear God is gracious. Grace. I love the acronym for grace. Apply a word or a statement to each letter of a word. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. We don't contribute anything. We don't deserve anything. But God gave the world his son. Why? The snares of death encompass me. No way out. But Jesus came to die, and he did. But he rose again, and he lives. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Gracious, righteous, so we have God's undeserved love and grace. We have God's perfect love in righteous. Jesus fulfilled the law. He is perfectly right as true man with his heavenly Father, and he shares with us the gifts of his rightness. And we receive the blessing through faith. And then there's that mercy. The Almighty God, God who could destroy this world in a second if he chose to do so. That's how powerful God is. He created life. He can take life out that quickly. But God is tender. Mercy is God's tender love. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we are blessed by God's grace, his righteousness, his mercy to know him and to believe and to trust. Wow. Do you see death in a little different light? There's days when I think, and I don't wish death upon myself, but it's like, God, I'm ready. Man, I can't wait for paradise. Isn't that a refreshing breath of air? In light of, here's how many died of COVID-19 today. Oh, you better be terrified. You better be afraid. You better not go anywhere. You might actually kill somebody. No. God, I might die today. It might be a car accident. It might be a heart attack. I don't know. But you know. And I don't have to know. But God, what you have blessed me and with all who believe and trust in you, it's the reality. We're going to be in heaven together. Talk about carefree living without death ever being known again. I love, in conclusion, the psalmist. And you have to love Lutheran liturgy because our liturgy goes back hundreds of years. And in that liturgy, God's word just brought out in song in the liturgy. And we're going to sing the offertory here in a moment. And listen carefully to the words in the offertory because it's really what we hear the psalmist praying to God. And it's this simple question. What shall I render to you, Lord? What shall I render to the Lord? What can I give to God with my life? Luther put it this way, for we can return nothing to God except the vows of praise and confession, for we have all things from Him. And I love this. He needs nothing of our deeds. He needs nothing of our goods. God doesn't need anything. He is God. But what we can offer to Him, as Luther says, praise and confession. What shall I render to the Lord? Great question. One we should ponder every day. And the carefree response, as the psalmist concludes this psalm, is to reflect on all the benefits that God has given you, to recognize His blessings, to give thanks for them, to acknowledge God is the one who provides them, and then to worship Him, not in isolation. We're doing that for a moment, but that's not God's will long term. We hear it all over Scripture, and here it's stated twice in this psalm, in the presence of His people. Fellowship by God's design and creation is a very big, important part of our lives. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it comes down to that question. Who are you going to call? Well, I hope we can declare in our own personal lives with the psalmist, I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy, because He inclined His ear to me. Therefore, I will call on Him as long as I live. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. And then those wonderful words, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Criminal on the cross. Look to the world. He was dying. His life just really began. And man, his life was going to go with the Lord into glory in heaven, walking together. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the victor, yes, over death. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.